Barbara Matthews. When Jack was talking about the regulatory review process, he mentioned two state levels, two bodies in the state that are participating in that, the Site Evaluation Committee Review and the PUC. Could you tell us who those people are, how they get there? Do we have any influence in that process? How can we affect those seats of power?
And actually, Jim Monahan might be a little bit more particularly versed in, what's that?
Jim Dennis
in that. They're largely appointed. Jim Dennis knows a lot about that. And so I'm going to turn the mic over to him to ask your specific question. But before I do, I just wanted to make one point in reaction to a couple of people's questions. I've come to the conclusion that Northern Pass as a proposal is only one thing. It's 1,100 towers across 180 miles of New Hampshire to transmit power for Hydro-Quebec. That's all it is. There's no alternative to that. If that doesn't happen, it goes away, and as Jim was pointing out, somebody else, perhaps involving Northeast Utilities, perhaps not, will come forward at some point with some other proposal to do something else. But as we consider this, I think we have to be careful about believing that there will be alternatives, because I don't think there will be. I think there will either be Northern Pass or there will be nothing, and we need to fight it, because that's the only way it works financially. And the second thing I think we need to be very careful about is looking at how they talk about this. As ham-fisted as Northern Pass representatives have been in handling some of the public relations surrounding this proposed project, they're in fact pretty clever, because what they set out in front of us is some values that it's hard to not like. Renewable energy, competitively priced energy, that other people will somehow build and pay for. Those are values that it's hard to argue against. And then they sort of, without really saying it out loud, suggested the only way that that's going to happen is Northern Pass. But in fact, we need to separate Northern Pass from the values. We need to dispatch Northern Pass, make it go away for all the reasons that you guys are suggesting, and focus on a vision of New Hampshire that perhaps embraces the values without Northern Pass. And one last point I wanted to address, the security issue. This is just an example of the tricks of language that they use. As Tom pointed out, we have attempted to ask many times, what about the existing national grid high voltage corridor that runs from the exact same place in Canada down to another node that, where you can put electricity into the New England grid in Ayers, Mass. And the answers have varied over time, but one of them has been that it represented a security issue. It represented a terrorism threat. If you co-located that much potential power transmission in one place, that it then became a target for terrorists. I'm not quite sure why it's easier to attack one versus two, but my real thought was about that. I stopped and said, wait a minute. So you think it's okay to attract terrorists to the Neely's backyard? We need to call them on all of this junk and force them to be accountable for this, and at the end of the day, tell Northern Pass to go away, and then begin working through commissions and this and the other on a vision for New Hampshire that perhaps allows some hydropower, large-scale hydropower to be used in New England, but in a way that we can all live with. Jim, you want to talk about the SEC and the PUC?
So on the question of the lights, though, by the substation, are there any planning board members here?
Yes, there are two.
So is there a site plan review process in Deerfield?
Oh, yeah, and the light trespass issue has come
up. Okay, because there should be, again, just from memory, substations are not, I don't think, exempt. And so I would have thought that if a substation proposes to use lights, it would have to be done in consistent with your site plan regs.
Oh, yeah, no light trespass.
Okay. Yeah. So they're just violating your regulations.
It would appear.
So is there a selectman here tonight?
Not by my count.
There are a lot of citizens here tonight who should go to the next selectmen's meeting and ask them to enforce the rules.
And planning board, too. We'll come.
As simple as that. Okay, so my mom, who was a teacher in Raymond, told me not to say things unless they're going to be sort of nice. So I'm not going to say anything about the SEC or the PUC. I'm going to give it to Jim Monahan.
The Site Evaluation Committee was actually it's a committee, and it's made up of agency heads from the various agencies that might have to issue some sort of a permit or be involved in the approval process. It was created in the 1980s as kind of one-stop shopping for somebody to get a project permitted in New Hampshire. It is made up of it's led by the Department of Environmental Services. They staff it, and the Tom Burek, the Commissioner of Environmental Services, is the chairman. The three public utilities commissioners are on it. The Commissioner of Department of Transportation, Department of Resources and Economic Development, Fish and Game, the Heritage Commission. I think I'm pretty much getting to most of them. I don't have the list in front of me. I'm sorry? Yeah, and the three POC commissioners. None of those folks are elected. All of those folks are appointed by the governor for various terms and confirmed by the executive council. So that makes it a little, the accountability is not as clear as if they were elected officials and they were on it, but they are public officials in the state, and they need to be responsive to the folks that they represent. In my day job is I'm a lobbyist for lots of clients, and so I find the executive council is an important voice when it comes to agency heads and making sure that they do their jobs. So as Pete talked about the executive, the political process, an important touch point when it comes to the site evaluation committee is the executive council.
Okay.